Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 8 through chapter 7 and verse 21. These are God's words. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments and put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. This is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before Yahweh. He shall take from it his handful of the fine flour of the grain offering with its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to Yahweh. And the remainder of it Aaron and his sons shall eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting, they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to Yahweh. Everyone who touches them must be holy." And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "This is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to Yahweh, beginning on the day when he is anointed, 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it at night. It shall be made in a pan with oil. When it is mixed, you shall bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a sweet aroma to Yahweh. The priest from among his sons who is anointed in his place shall offer it. It is a statute forever to Yahweh. It shall be wholly burned. For every grain offering for the priest shall be wholly burned. It shall not be eaten." Also Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before Yahweh. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it in a holy place. It shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Everyone who touches its flesh must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which it was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy. But no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering. And its blood he shall sprinkle all round on the altar. And he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, two kidneys, the fat that is on them by the flanks, the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove. And the priest shall burn them on the altar as an offering made by fire to Yahweh. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in a holy place. It is most holy. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes atonement with it shall have it. And the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. Also, every grain offering that is baked in the oven and all that is prepared in the covered pan or in a pan shall be the priest's who offers it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to one as much as the other. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer to Yahweh. If he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes, as his offering, he shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to Yahweh. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers the sacrifice, but on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering is eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats of it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to Yahweh, while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, and who eats of the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to Yahweh, that person shall be cut off from his people. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We've taken our cues as to what we take as a section by whom Yahweh has Moses addressed. Up until chapter 6 and verse 7, Moses was addressing the children of Israel, but suddenly now, verse 8 and 9, says, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying." And the instructions that we have are especially now for the priesthood, especially having to do with their holy duties and their holy provision that is especially for them. We hear throughout the account, it is most holy, it is most holy, it is most holy, it is most holy. And there is, behind every one of those, it's actually, if we were reading it with Hebrew eyes, we would see it is a holy of holies. There is the holy of holies, which takes the article, but every time you see it is most holy here, it is, quite literally, it is a holy of holies. And so it's actually quite remarkable that these things that are being described as most holy are being shared with or being given by God as a provision for the priests. And so it is a holy provision. But we have in the beginning of his addressing them, and he's going to turn back. That's why we cut off at the end of verse 21, because in chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, he's going to go back to addressing the children of Israel. We have in the beginning of his addressing them the greatness of their holy duty, first of all. And so those are the two headings under which we seek to understand the portion of Scripture before us this afternoon. First, holy duty, and second, holy provision. Now the main point of the holy duty is that the ascension keeps going up. It never stops going up. Thank God there is a going up of the smoke of something forever that is not a going up forever of the burning of his wrath. Because we do read that sort of language in the Scripture, don't we? That sort of description. But Israel was to see the smoke going up from the altar of ascension. We read in our English translation, the altar of burnt offering, or the law of burnt offering, but remember, that's a paraphrastic interpretation. The words there, wherever you see the burnt offering, is just ascension. And so this is the law of the ascension. The ascension shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning. Isn't it wonderful that during the day you could always see, if you turned towards the tabernacle or later the temple complex, you could always see the smoke of the ascension going up. You could always know that God had given his people not just to draw near to an expression of himself on earth, but a visual statement that he was giving his people to ascend even to him himself. This is why we rejoice so much in the ascension of Jesus Christ. What a great difference it makes for us once we have begun to understand Leviticus, to see the Lord Jesus ascend to heaven, to know even when Mary is trying to cling to him on the day of his resurrection, he says, "No, don't cling to me. Go to my brethren." Wonderful to have him call us that, "my brethren," and tell them, "I must ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God," that we have now been brought into union with Christ, and in Jesus we ascend. This is one of the reasons why the book of Hebrews, when it's talking about how all of what we're reading here, the procedures here in Leviticus, have been obsoleted in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it focuses so much on Jesus having ascended. Our great high priest has passed through the heavens. He is for us an anchor beyond the veil in the Holy of Holies, and we come to God in the new and living way that is through his flesh rather than the dead and burning or smokified way that was through the ascension of these sacrifices. And yet, until Christ comes, how great a mercy it is to them that whether by day they could see the smoke going up or by night the cinders, that they could see that the ascension is still there. God is, as it were, keeping the channel open. He is continuously, doesn't let day or night interrupt his statement, his declaration to his people that it is his every intention for them to be with him, not just forgiven, but cleansed and purified forever. And that he delights in the promise of their presence with him. He delights in the prospect of the fulfillment of that which he has desired, that which he has planned before time began. This is a holy duty. Those are holy ashes from which that smoke has gone up. And we're reminded of that even by the garments. It seems a little bit cumbersome. I mean, if they're just going to shovel the stuff off of the altar of the ascension and put it next to it, and then you got to change your clothes once to shovel off of the altar of the ascension, and then you got to change your clothes again because you're going to carry those ashes from next to the altar outside the camp. You can't wear the holy clothes in the unholy place. But he's communicating, isn't he, the holiness of keeping the way open. And not only does he keep the way open continually, but he receives their worship and makes them to acknowledge that he is the one who has blessed them with all that they have. You know, an ephah was considered a day's worth of grain. And so we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And they have this daily offering of a tenth of an ephah. It's split into two, so 2/20 of an ephah, one in the morning, one in the evening, a tithe, as it were, reminding Israel continually that even the bread that God gives them is recognition, is God giving it to them, not the way he gives to all the other people on the earth or all the other animals on the earth, whom he also feeds, of course, but he gives us our bread as our covenant God. It's very different when anyone who is outside of Christ offers a prayer to whatever deity he knows, he can see in the world, the created things, the truth about the Creator, and he should be thankful. But how different to nestle that, give us this day our daily bread, here right in between our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then going to, for thine is the glory and the power the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. And knowing that this God has taken me to be His own, He gives me my bread each day as a father. And that is a holy of holies. It shall be wholly burned every bit as much as the ascension offering, the meat and the fat of the ascension is wholly burned. And so these priests were conducting this service in which God was always communicating to His people, not only that He was keeping the way open for them to come up to Him in heaven, but that He was also providing for them on earth, not just in the way that He provides for all the other creatures. It was similar to how Abraham refused to be provided for by way of the king of Sodom. You remember that? The king of Sodom said, you know, just give me the people, but you keep all the spoil. But he had just been visited by somebody. By whom had he just been visited? Well, Hebrews tells us who. It gives away the answer. It's by Jesus. And Jesus was the priest of the Most High God forever. And Abram learned from Melchizedek that everything he had was being given to him in covenant with God. He didn't want to take so much as a sandal strap in any other way than would show that God's provision for him was covenantal, personal, in the relationship of God's redeeming him by His grace. And so the priests, their great duty, they had all of these details that they had to follow. It would have been exhausting, mentally and physically, to be a priest. Because all the details you had to track, and then you actually have to follow them all. And yet, when he addresses the priests through Moses here, he is showing them the greatness of their holy duty. That they are the ones by whose hands, by whose feet, by whose sleepless nights, you know, they would have to, and we read about it actually in the rebuilding of the temple after the exile, where the priests by lot would decide who has to stay up all night with the ascension to make sure that smoke keeps going up. But it was a marvelous holy duty. And so the Lord gave them holy provision. Nothing could be eaten from the ascension. The entire, you know, the meat and the fat of the ascension was all smokified, and yet God would give them the skin, the hide, from the ascension offering. And the peace, remember, the fat is smokified to go up to God. He actually calls it food, which to us seems almost gross to say God eats food, and yet it's not for the sake of God to have food, but for the worshiper as he eats his portion to know he's eating from the table with God, the fellowship that is given in the peace and in the peace offering. And there would be a portion. It would be just a little breast meat and a little thigh meat, the breast and one of the thighs for the priest that would come out of that. But it was especially the tribute offering and the grain of the tribute offering. And you know, you see that in verses 14 through 18 in chapter 6. A handful would go to Yahweh with all of the frankincense, but the rest of the tribute, what is translated here, grain offering, doesn't actually have the word grain. The rest of the tribute would be for the priest. But then while nobody could eat of the ascension and of the peace, it was primarily for the worshiper to enjoy with the Lord. When it came to the sin offering and the trespass offering, from those the Lord really gave the bulk of the flesh then to the priest who officiated in that case. Because you remember, I hope, from last week, that one of the great provisions that God made for our guilty consciences as we come to Him was not just the forgiveness, the "it shall be forgiven him," which God Himself does immediately, but the priest shall make atonement for him. And it focused on this work that had to be done by priests in order to apply the blood so that God would forgive. And we remember that God has provided for us in Jesus, the one who is both priest and God, the one who does the action that applies the blood, and it's actually even his own blood. He has made atonement, and he is also God who forgives on the basis of his own atonement. And so this provision of the priest himself is something to which the worshiper would respond with this gratitude as he offers the sin offering, as he offers the trespass offering, knowing the fat goes up to God, but the meat stays as a holy of holies, especially for this particular priest. Now you can imagine, the priests carefully keeping track of the rotation so that one wouldn't always get to do the sin offering and always get the meat, but the Lord communicating to that priest his personal ministry assigned by God for the sake of this specific worshiper, and God communicating to the worshiper what a blessing not just the priesthood in general was, but that specific priest was. This is something, of course, then for each of us, that every time we come to God, every time we have that fresh cleansing of our conscience, that we would come with special appreciation for who our specific priest was. And there's no rotation anymore because there's only one of them. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. That you would rejoice not only for the forgiveness that comes by the work that he does, but that you would rejoice that he himself was the one that the Father gave to you to be the priest who did the atonement. And then we desire that this Jesus, who has opened up the way to heaven, this Jesus who has ascended, and we, by faith, are seated with him now in the heavenly places and are looking forward to being soul with him at death and body with him at the resurrection. This Jesus, who is the one who applies to us the sin offering and who carries in his hand the tribute to God, where he himself is ultimately the tribute, that he would receive all that has been assigned to him. And what is that great portion that the Lord Jesus has taken? Well, God is his portion, of course, but his people are his portion. They're the people that God has given him. The reward of the bride that he redeems for himself and he sanctifies for himself. What an amazing thing it is, dear Christian, that God has decided that you would be the gift from the Father to the Son, and you would be the gift from the Son to the Father, and that the result of the work of the Father and the Son of the Spirit would be that of all the creation, in the last day he will have made you into that portion, that possession. Of course, what this meant for them was all of these things that were described as most holy had to be treated that way. God was so serious about this picture of Christ that he was giving them that if someone sinned against it, particularly in this matter of being unclean and eating the clean meat, he would be excommunicated, cut off from his people. Some think that means even executed, although it really seems to be just excommunicated, and it appears many more times in the next passage. We'll consider that more, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. But everything belongs to us because we are Christ's. We belong to Christ, and Christ is God's. He belongs to God. And so our thanksgiving, our worship, our service, our love, our obedience, all of it is consecrated to him, not only as the Lord who made us and redeemed us, but even as the priest who has applied to us that redemption. We are doubly holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. We are doubly entirely his. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your Son, our Lord Jesus, has been perfect in his priesthood. He has carried out all his duty. That we know now that we may come to you through him night and day. And we thank you, Lord, for the special way in which you gather us to yourself in him in the Lord's Day assemblies. We pray, Lord, that the awareness of what you have provided for us and him, the access that you have given us, that your Spirit would communicate that to us on a continual basis. Bless to us what we have understood, what we have read, what we have heard of this picture of Christ's priestly ministry to us, and give him all that over which he rejoices. Particularly, O Lord, give us to your Son. And Lord Jesus, give us to the Father. O Holy Spirit, help us apply Christ's redemption to us and cleanse us that we would be a gift fit for the King of Kings when he presents us to himself on the last day. Grant all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.